He is pretty amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
We have given you guys this whole last week. We created that Facebook event, a sharing of God's faithfulness. And I'd posted every single day on my profile, and a lot of other people would do that, and just extended the invite to everyone because of something very, very important. Because people need to hear these stories. People need to hear about our God, about His love, about His faithfulness, about the help that He brings and gives in our lives. In Psalms here, in verse 3, as we read a little bit earlier, it says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And it just continues on in Scripture here, kind of breaking apart about many and who hear and see these things will turn their hearts to you, will turn to you, Lord. Because there's something that happens when somebody shares about God's faithfulness, about His love, about His grace. Our hearts get stirred. I mean, when you hear about God doing something in the life of another person, your heart gets stirred. And you know what it does? What it does for me, which I'm thinking is pretty universal, it leads me to a place to where I want to put more trust in my God. And so you guys shared on Facebook. Can we get that up there? Okay. Go ahead and scroll on down a little bit here. There we go. Some of you guys are like, oh, great. They're going to share it. Which it was on the post, and that's what today's about. But before we look at some of these, I want to remind you guys, these are stories of God who has lifted people out of the pit. These are stories of the faithfulness of our God. Someone's calling me. They're saying, don't share mine. There we go. But, you know, before we do this, I think I'm going to do something else, all right? Some of you guys have put a post on here, and some of you guys have tried, and if you haven't figured it out, you can only post like 1,000 characters at one time. And so this is what we're going to do. If you're in here and you posted something, and maybe you yourself would like to come up and share in 1,000 characters or less, I just happen to have a microphone right here. Has God lifted you out of the pit? Has God showed you His love? What has God done in your life that is worth sharing? Maybe we could just take a few moments, and if you could briefly, I say briefly because I want more than just one person, come and share. Go ahead, come on. Now, I know this girl talks a lot, so we'll see. Turn around. Okay, turn. No, no, right here. Get used to this, okay?
So I've had my story be shared up there before in the little video thing. Yeah. Anyways, my story starts out when Pastor James was still here. I was invited to church by my neighbors, and I used to ask my parents, "Can I go to church? Can I go to church?" And they used to be like, "No, you can't go to church. I don't want you going. Your brother didn't like it." And I'm like, okay, fine. And then finally they said, okay, yeah, you can go to church one day after all the crying and screaming I did to go to church. And so this is about fourth grade. And I went to church. I liked it. But I never really got what I wanted out of it. So fourth and fifth grade, I was with Pastor James. And sixth and seventh, I never went to youth room except for maybe once or twice because I was just scared of the youth room, okay? And so I just held downstairs with James. But then sometime in the middle of seventh grade, Pastor James had said, okay, I'm leaving for Prosser. And yeah, and so I was like, okay, well, I'll just stop going to church when James leaves. It sounds like a pretty good idea to me. And so when James left, I went to church for a couple weeks, and then I got a call from, I think, one of the drivers of the bus, Ed. Yeah, anyways, I got a call from the drivers asking if I wanted to go to church today, and I said, well, they got a pastor already, and they're like, no. Do you want to come to youth group? And I said, okay, I want to go to youth group. So I went to youth group, and this was the first youth group I went to, and Maggie. Oh, Maggie, she was there, and we played air hockey together, and we then became best friends. And so now I'm best friends with, like, Andrew and Matthew and Kevin and Dylan and all of them, thanks to Maggie. I love Maggie. Oh, yeah, and this guy, too. That's my story, and God's still working in my life a lot better. That's how my faith grew tremendously.
That's right. There's something I want to share with you guys in here. It's Doug Hyatt, which would be my wife's dad. About 7 years ago, Kristen's parents got a divorce. And it was just a real tough time. And this is what he wrote. I think if you want to scroll down, it's on there. It says this: God's faithfulness for me. God has taken a broken family and put it back together, even better than it was from the beginning. He has carried me through some tough times and is doing so as I'm writing this. I thank God every day for his unfailing love and care for us and my kids. I am so thankful for them and their families. I'm in there somewhere. The only thing I can say is, thank you, Lord. Another little saying, God said it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me. And then Kristen's mom wrote on here, God's faithfulness. I find myself in a place and at a time in my life when I am literally seeing his faithfulness on a daily basis. I often wonder, though, if I have just finally learned how to view my life and relationships through the eyes of faithful gratitude in a way I had never known before. I have always been grateful, yes, but it seems that in the last few years, I have somehow been molded, thanks be to God, in a way which allows me to see the faithfulness of God in every little and big thing in my life. And I have had lots of examples of both of those in the last few years. On February 4th, I get to officiate their wedding because God has done such an amazing work in their lives, and he has lifted them from the pit. He has been faithful to them. He has been faithful to us, too. Is there... yes. Carol.
I have so many testimonies, as everybody does, through our journey with the Lord. I'm going to share one that always comes back whenever I think about what God's done for me. When I was younger, a teenager, and I have a heart for you guys. It's hard growing up in this world. But anyway, I was sick a lot. I had asthma so bad. But my relief, what helped me breathe, was praising the Lord. And with every breath I took, I would praise him because he gave me breath and I would give it back. Because I thought, if that's the last thing I do on this earth is take another breath, I'm going to give it to God in my praise to him. And I know there's more to worship than just singing a song. When you worship, he gives you life. I've experienced his life in me since I took my breath for him when I was a teenager and gave it back. His spirit, when you're singing to him, and he fills you up. I remember I was at Nazarene Church camp. And I was in one of the cabins there, and I couldn't breathe. And I thought, I shouldn't have come. I should have stayed home. I should have been in the hospital. But the girls in the cabin, we prayed, because we were, like, far away from the hospital. And we prayed, and we said, God, please help us. We need your breath right now. You know, help my sister breathe. and we went to the chapel, and we just started singing, and through that, I started breathing. And ever since that time, this has been my testimony.
Thank you, Carol. The reality is we could share and share and share and share and not be scratching the surface. One person wrote in here about how if she shared all the ways that God was faithful, the internet would crash, which I could see that happening if you have a Mac. But you want to come up, Steve? I would encourage you guys in this week to get online, check out these stories. Don't let this be something that we just spend a week doing, but make this a practice of your life, seeking out the different ways upon which we can share God's faithfulness. Those stories belong in this place. Those stories belong at your workplace. They belong everywhere because they're God's. So,
I think about all of this, and before we close, I think there's something that we need to recognize about this psalm that I think is true to life. You know, David, here he is, he's proclaiming how God has turned to him, how he's lifted him out of this pit, how he's set him on this rock, and how he's given him a new song to sing. And yet, if you go to the end of this psalm, it appears that David's got a problem. He's hurting. He's feeling abandoned. He's feeling alone. And the truth is, we can hear all of these kind of stories of people's, how God has been faithful in the life of us, in our lives. But the truth is, life sometimes slams us, doesn't it? And we need to know that we can come to Him. And one of the things I love about this psalm is how it ends. You remember at the beginning, it starts off, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Listen to how it ends. This is David. Maybe this is you. "Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me." Did you hear that? Come quickly. "May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for you, for your saving help, always say, 'The Lord is great.' But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay." Maybe you're saying, didn't he hear his own story? I mean, he just declared a moment ago, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he lifted me up, and he set me on a solid rock, and all of these great things. And now, did he forget?" Well, yes and no. I mean, he didn't forget because he turned back to God. And did you notice what he said? "You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. But I need you to work in my life today. I need your help today." And I don't know, but my guess is there's someone today who would say, "That's where I am." I can think back to the different ways in which God has come through, and this has been good because maybe it has led me to this moment to be able to say, God, I need your help today. Help me to place my trust in you today, my complete trust, like he talks about in the fourth and fifth verse. I think it would be wonderful for us to close our time together this morning in prayer and to ask God to help us to always discover the reality that he can be trusted, that we can place our trust completely in him because he is faithful. And while at this moment it may seem like the answer has not come, while this moment it may seem like God is far away, I want to promise you that he, in this moment, is turning to you. He's listening to you. And he longs to, with his hand, to lift you out of the slimy pit that you might find yourself in today, and to put you on a rock, and to put a new song in your heart. And you may say, I can't even begin to understand all of that. Maybe you're thinking, but how can that be true? Will you try him? For as you have seen, and if you go back and look and read this afternoon through the stories of God's faithfulness, these sharings of God's faithfulness, you will see God has been faithful in the past. As you read this word, you will discover that God has been faithful in the past. And maybe today, you would discover he can be faithful for you in this moment. I think, trying to think what to do and how to close and how to pray together. There's a cross here in the center of this place. The cross is a place where we come for forgiveness, for healing, for restoration. Perhaps this morning you would like to come to the cross. I think there's going to be some music, or we're going to have some music here. And as the music begins, I'm going to read that psalm again. And as I'm reading that psalm, if you would like to come and pray, and maybe you're saying, you know, I don't know how to pray. Maybe you could just come and kneel at the altar so that others can pray for you and pray with you. That we can be the body of Christ. You know, there's a line in Corinthians where Paul is talking about the body of Christ, and he's talking about the community that we are. He said, you know, when one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. We've rejoiced in how God has delivered us. Let us now together share these moments. So go ahead and start playing that music, and as that plays, I'm going to read, and if God is speaking your heart and you would like to come to this place, feel free to come. If you prefer just to kneel at your chair or just to quietly pray where you are, you can do that too. But I'd like you to hear again the prayer of David. Maybe this morning it is your prayer. Father, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. So do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and your faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this community of faith. I thank you for the faith stories that we have shared just in these last moments and throughout this last week. And Lord, stories that I hope will continue to be shared throughout this next week. Ways in which you have come into our lives and how you have lifted us up out of the miry pit and set our feet on a rock and put a new song in our mouth. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to see the many and diverse ways in which you have worked. But Lord, this morning we also recognize that life being what it is, that sometimes we find ourselves back in the pit. Sometimes it's from our own sin and our own folly and our own mistakes and just mess that we do, things that we do that just put us in a hard place. Sometimes it's just the circumstances of life, but Lord, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we need you. And Father, I pray that you would come to that one today, that you would come to us and that you would again turn to us and that you would hear our cries, that you would reach down and lift us up out of that pit, that you'd set us on the rock, and that you'd fill us with a new song, that we might proclaim that you are God, that you are our God, that you are our deliverer. And Lord, as David prayed, I pray too, Lord, do not delay. Come in this moment. Meet whatever need might be represented in this number, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would be an encouragement to one another. You'd help us to help one another, that we would share your great mercies with each other as we have experienced them in our own lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.